Gee, that's a very prestigious welcome to the show. I think you're going to get the same Patchy.
Oh, and I'd also like to welcome a long time I haven't seen you, Patchy, from Caboolture Sports Club. Nice to have your company.
Thanks, Shane. Think I've been rubbed out. I was a bit like Todd Carney, mate. I was rubbed out for about 18 months.
Oh, you're back again. Yeah. And walk out. And, of course, Mal, we have Mal here as well. Mal Lucas, a warm welcome to you tonight.
Good on you, buddy. Fresh man on the bench.
Indeed. Okay, it's over to you.
Excellent introduction there. By gee, Patchy, white headsets. Yeah. Almost like Graham Langland's boots.
Yeah, might be an ugly show tonight.
I'm sure it will be.
You played pretty ugly in those white boots.
Yeah, complete with makeup and a suit.
How do I look?
There we go. Have a go at him, Mal.
Yeah, looking good.
He's pretty spiffy, really.
He looks like an accountant, doesn't he? The money man.
He's trying to outdo us.
got the bag of fruit on and everything.
I can see that. Mal, you'd be still wondering how the Rabbits beat the Dragons last week.
On the death, mate, on the death.
Yes, well and truly. Well, bad luck to the Dragons. Where's Poncho? Speedy Gonzalez. He was here a minute ago, Craig Hewlett.
He's in there. Speedy run.
There's not enough room for me. Actually, that's why I didn't.
He's getting a takeout.
I didn't get rubbed out. I got bumped out. We had a couple of big units about 12 months ago, and Mooney and Wade. We ran out of stools. We ran out of microphones. We ran out of bickies.
Everything was gone.
Yeah, that was the final straw.
I think they ran out of puff, and that's why you're here.
Once I ate all the bickies, it was all over for me.
That's great to have you here, Patchy and Mal, because it is, believe it or not, Horse's birthday too. So I can't wait to chat to Shane Moon when it's Horse's birthday.
From the horse's mouth.
Yes, exactly right. Just after 6:20. But listen, it's a big program tonight. Mater Talk, of course, at 7 o'clock, but we'll analyse, dissect and bisect all things rugby league. We're going to chat with Nick Price, the video producer for the Sunshine Coast Gympie Rugby League, just after 10 past 6 this evening. Technology seems to be the word of the moment with rugby league, and we thought we'd chat about something there with Mick. Shane Moon, the Moon Star, and he'll join us just after 6:20 this evening, horse's birthday and all. And Greg McCallum joins us at 6:40, and we're going to preview and predict our top eight selections this evening, listeners, in order. That could be a big ask for many. He can only count to five, so he's got to count to eight, and that'll be interesting, Patchy. So you better get your work done. You told me you were prepared. I hope you've picked your top eight.
Yeah, nothing prepares you for Shane Moon.
I guess it does.
He's got nothing. He'll have something coming 13th or 12th to make the eight. Watch his face.
He'll have a boulder. Something. Sure,
there'll be a boulder in there somewhere. Yeah. Bolt from the blue.
Or maybe a team that hasn't been invented yet.
It's a possibility. Yeah. All the listeners, last weekend, round 19, the Sharks 14 defeated the Cowboys 6. A few moments of Sean Johnson brilliance. The Knights lost 28-26 to the Tigers, and the collision with Kalen Ponga didn't incur any penalties, Patchy.
Didn't see a game. I was down in Tasmania.
Another junket.
All AFL based down there. I was scratching, looking everywhere to try to get on the telly to watch the NRL.
Tigers 28, the Knights 26. But the Rabbits, they defeated the Dragons 20-16 with a try as the full time siren sounded.
Yes, on the bell.
Gareth Widdop, good return there, but not good enough to beat the Rabbits. The Warriors lost 24-22 to the Eels, and, officials dropped from that game.
Bit contentious.
Yes, we'll talk to Macca about all of that. The scores drew level three times and the lead changed four times, Patchy. Was a pretty good game of rugby league, even if the Eels did win.
Yeah, off a forward pass.
Off a forward pass.
Mm. Yeah. Mm.
Shane Moon won't say anything about that. No, he'll just let that
what
go.
What pass? Yeah,
exactly right. Four tries apiece. Well, the Broncos, 34, they defeated the Titans, 12. Where to for the Titans? We'll talk about their new coach later on. He'll need to be better than Houdini to do anything with the Titans, I reckon.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it goes because it's a different style of football over in England compared to here, isn't it?
It certainly is. And he doesn't start till November, which is 4 months away. Yeah. So all the player market will be finished, and we'll see what happens when he gets here. The Manly defeated the Storm 11-10 in Melbourne, courtesy of a Daly Cherry Evans field goal in extra time, and it was one of the best games of rugby league I think I have ever seen. Mal?
Very, very good game, right to the wire.
It certainly did. And, Patchy, you wouldn't have seen that down there in the backwoods. You were in Banjo territory, were you? Deliverance territory?
Yeah, down in Tasmania. It's AFL country down there.
We know that.
It was the Brisbane Lions, I think. I might have watched some of the Brisbane Lions. I was having a couple of sherbets, so I wasn't too interested.
Is that right? Keeping warm. Well, actually. But Cherry Evans and Tom Trbojevic. Tell me, how did Trbojevic not
get away with that tackle?
Unbelievable. And yet Isaac Luke gets 3 weeks. We'll talk about that later on too. The Roosters 20 defeated a spirited Bulldogs 12. And Joseph Manu had a very strong game for the Roosters in the centre. And during the week, the Roosters, they signed Sharks halfback Kyle Flanagan. Now, that's a very good signing for the Roosters as an under, or a replacement, I suppose, for
good young player.
Cooper Cronk.
Yep.
Very, very good young player. The Raiders, well, they defeated the Panthers 30-18, a four-try onslaught in the second half, and that finished Patchy Penrith's seven-game winning streak.
Yeah, still on a roll, though. I think they can definitely make the eight. But I'm locking the Raiders. We'll get to that later on in the show, but top four for the Raiders for mine.
I would think so. And Josh Hodgson sent Josh Papali over from close range, and that seems to be a pet play from the Raiders, close to the opponent's line. And they did it the week before against the Tigers. And certainly big Josh Papali is very hard to stop 5 metres out from anyone's try line.
Yeah.
He's a big unit.
Yeah, he's like Mooney. He's like Mooney with a hamburger in front of him.
But no stopping.
No stopping him.
Yeah.
Get out of his way.
Get out of his way.
Get out of his way. Make that two hamburgers, not just one.
Anyway, he's going to be on soon, so we don't want to.
Yeah, we don't want to. We don't want to. No, we don't want to upset him or get him fired up. He sent about 35 text messages, So he's obviously enjoying Horse's birthday.
Yes.
Here's to Mooney, here's True Blue.
The show's not about him, Gordon.
No, we know that. We know. Now, NRL news. Before we talk to Mick Price, Robbie Farah. Well, he's announced his retirement, plays his 300th game this weekend, or tonight, I should say. But interesting to note that he asked his manager, Sam Ayoub, to have a bottle of Chivas Regal sent over to the cafe where they were meeting prior to the press conference at Leichhardt Oval on Tuesday, because he was very nervous. Must be well paid if he's asked for a bottle of Chivas Regal.
Yeah, you just thought a nip.
A glass of plenty.
Well, listeners, let's go straight to our first interview this evening. And we're joined by Mick Price, the video producer and whatever else happens with videos for the Sunshine Coast Gympie Rugby League. Good evening, Mick.
G'day, Gordon. How are you going?
Good, thank you. It's great to have you join us, Mick. I'm not quite sure. Video producer, video operator, how should we refer to you?
Jack of all trades, master of none, basically. They just put me in charge of video for the Sunshine Coast Gympie Rugby League. And, so I look after all the video for the senior games and also the juniors for the finals and all that sort of thing as well.
Well, I suppose with what you're being paid, you'd be able to join Kilpatch on a junket to Tasmania.
Oh, you'd think so, wouldn't you?
That's probably a one-way ticket, Mick. But, now, how and when did you get involved in the video of rugby league games? And we thought, listeners, that it would be very opportune to talk to someone like Mick tonight because technology seems to be the buzzword this week for rugby league in more ways than one.
Yeah, the technology in rugby league circles at all levels is getting bigger and better and faster, and the need for information is all there, and high-res cameras and everything else. I'll get onto that, but I started just with a passion for photography and rugby league when in about 2002, when my young son was under sixes, and I used to just put photos and videos together and do a montage for the kids at the end of the season, and that sort of grew and went into doing video for certain games and representative games and things like that. Over the years, it evolved to, as they got older, to going into, I'd be asked to provide video as evidence in judiciaries and things like that. So it just stemmed from an interest in it. Really haven't had much by way of training or anything, but self-taught along those lines too over the years.
And the variety of equipment that's available and that you operate, what sort of credentials do you need to operate those, Mick?
Yeah, well, basically I've sort of pieced together something that works within the budget that we've got to work with for the Sunshine Coast Gympie Rugby League, and obviously that's not a great deal, but they provide the cameras, and since the introduction of using video for the judiciary, there's cameras that actually work well in low light, so they've got quite a bigger sensor. So we use those, but we also now, in the last 2 years, we've had the referees being monitored as well via their wireless earpieces, so actually keep in touch with the referees and the touch judges from the sideline. which also makes for a little bit easier job. But as far as the technology goes, they're sort of amateur, but the next step up type of camera. And obviously, so that we can cover night games, they've got a better sensor, so we can use the footage a bit better than just your average camcorder. So the way I've set them up, I've got them set so that pretty much anyone can use them. There are a few little tricks that I'll probably get onto when throughout the questions about how to go about filming the games, but they're very, very easy, and you just pretty much just have to start and stop. There are little tricks that I can show people that are interested in going that next level to do as well, to just get you better, smoother footage and better light or better video reproduction.
So, Mick, if there was one thing, the most critical aspect when videoing games, what is it?
Yeah, well, it depends what you're using the video for. Most of the time we use it for judiciary, so we try to capture as much as we can, and sometimes that means that we need to try and get in close on the subject, you know, like in a tackle, and things can happen in tackles, you know, like whether there's allegations of biting or elbows and things like that. But we also need to keep in mind, you know, like what happens in back play, and you know, like the because the referees use the video footage to train new referees, they use that footage to make sure that they're keeping, you know, things like their 10-meter rules. You know, basically every type of thing that can come into the game can be used and used for training. Then coaches use it as well for helping with their you know, identifying weak spots in their teams and things like that, and even you know, finding deficiencies in their opposition teams coming up. But then you've got people that want to do their highlights reels, and they want tight stuff so they can see them running down and see the expression on their face as they're crossing the line to score a try. So, you know, at the end of the season, we try and do like a montage and put that information together. But so it's sort of a whole heap of things, but primarily we try and use it for judiciary. So unfortunately, we don't have the multi-camera budgets or anything like that to have a camera on the sideline and different ends and all that sort of thing. So we try and cover as much as we can with the one camera.
So, Mick, what skills does a person need to become an operator, if there's listeners and youngsters or retirees out there, and how can they find out more details about getting involved?
Yeah, well, if they've got an interest in the games, probably a good start, because you use that information to, you know, set yourself up for the shots and everything. You know, like you might be in fairly reasonably tight for your first, you know, couple of sets, and then pan out for the kick and follow the progression of the game. So it having a bit of a basis of a knowledge of the games helps quite a bit. And but you don't really need any experience as such. I do a little bit of on ground training if they're interested, and if people are interested in getting in touch and want to do and try something like this, then by all means get in touch with the Falcons, get in touch with us at the Falcons on www.falcons.com.au.
Well, Mick, that's absolutely fantastic. What we might do, well, let's let Shane know, we might leave Mick on hold while we go to our first break here on The Grapple, and then we'll continue on with a quick chat with Mick after that break here on 101.5 FM Sports. And listeners, just before our first break, we were talking to Mick Price, video producer and operator, and he covers all of the Sunshine Coast Gympie Rugby League football games, and we thought it was very topical. And we talk about coaches and players and all that sort of thing, but not many cover the video operator. And Mick, we thought it was great for you to join us this evening, and certainly very interesting with what you've been outlining in terms of technology and so on. But I suppose, what would be the most unusual or humorous incident you have ever recorded?
Okay, yeah. Now, when you say that, a few incidents come to mind. One being, a couple are based around the referees, where I did actually send in a bit of a blooper reel for last year's, where there was a referee and a touch judge, and the CMO, which was the chief officer overseeing the referees, and they were discussing the corner posts, and they'd put in these new corner posts with a spring, so that when if there was a tackle over the top of the corner post, it would spring back up. But they were concerned because every time they moved it, the spring got exposed a little bit more. So they were over in the corner and they were kicking the corner post over, and it sort of slowly moved up, and then the referee hit it one more time, and it actually caught the touch judge right in the knackers and dropped him. So it was quite an unusual one. They were surprised to turn around and see that the camera was still rolling while this was happening.
Australia's greatest bloopers there, well and truly.
That's got to hurt.
Another one that may or may not be involving the same referee was when a try was scored across the try line, and he was walking backwards watching the post try celebrations and players moving back. Sometimes it can be a little bit of a fray, so he was keeping an eye on that, walking back, but there was an injured player on the ground and he fell straight on top of him, so that was quite good too. And the caption with that one was that good referee has eyes in the back of his head.
Well, that's typical of all referees, Mick. Now, Kel Patch is sitting here. He's been jumping up and down. He has a couple of serious questions.
I've got a good one. Have you had to take the heat like the poor cameraman did with Shane Warne with can't throw and can't play comments? And another quick one, at half time or when you got a bit of break and play, do you go around and look at all the good sorts around the ground like they do, those Sly Blokes do, those Cameron do in the cricket?
No, well, sometimes we do, none of that will happen, but because there's usually not much time, and the 10-minute break is probably the only break that you'll get, the biggest break you'll get, because between games there's hardly any time as well, so usually that's fine to get a drink or a bite to eat in between when you can. But certainly there's a few things that around, and I'll probably discuss a little bit further on when they talk about the technology that's come up, and also incorporating this year we've had a really big push, as we did last year, for footy for families, and at some grounds there might be a little bit of boisterous calling from the sidelines and occasional swearing, and to combat that, we've actually had to bring in some 360 cameras that we put around the clubs occasionally as well, just to identify any little problems that might be introduced from, one or two people at the games. So that sort of certainly helped clean that up a bit anyway.
Well, Mick, it's been wonderful for us to chat with you. I think we might defer the technical aspects to another interview, which I think would be well covered in that regard. And, Mick, we certainly appreciate your time this evening, and look forward to seeing more of your videos that you produce for the Sunshine Coast Gympie Rugby League. And thank you for joining us here on The Grapple on 101.5 FM Sports.
Well, gentlemen, that was an interesting chat,
yes.
And we've only just scratched the surface there in terms of, what's required and how that lends support to the league and to the clubs and to the referees as well.
Yeah, the league compensate them for that, because if they're going to use it a lot for the disciplinary reasons, it's not really the club that's got to take it on, or the clubs foot the bill for the whole lot, Gordon?
There's a subsidy, or there's a payment from the league to the operator.
They do receive a subsidy.
Yeah, there is. It's not a great deal, but I think it's something that probably will need to be looked at in terms of increasing that to be commensurate with the level of support that is provided, well and truly. Well, I thought, that was very topical because, as I said, technology seems to be the word of this week, with Hawkeye and robotic referees and RPD2 and all those sorts of things coming into play. But we'll move straight on, listeners, now to, unfortunately, we have to do it, Patchy. Did you want to introduce him?
No, Townsville's not far enough away from me.
Papua New Guinea?
Yeah, East Timor.
East Timor. That's a warm welcome to Shane Moon. Niff Nuff, good evening.
You guys are bloody ugly. Would you put me into the video cam into the studio? And Kel Patch hasn't changed a bit. His beak's still really, really long. Skinny face wearing a jacket. Thinks he's a good sort. He's a model. A model for Niff Nuff.
He's a man of finesse. He's a man of finesse.
Absolutely.
He's the James Bond.
No charisma in that place anymore. You're all a bunch of zombies.
Agent 007, Patchy. Agent 007. Now, Moody, great to have you join us.
North... And what's Mel? Mel Mate? Doing sitting over in Mel yeah. sitting over in Robbo's seat. Is he going to talk or is he just
compliment me, mate.
On,
another,
Mel,
another,
go,
blue,
mate.
Another blue supporter here, mate. Another blue supporter. So you've got to support me here.
But mate, he's a Dragon supporter, so he's backing another losing team.
Come on, come on.
Hey, and I'm a blue supporter too, Mel. I know. Beautiful.
Now, I don't mind hanging with winners.
Now, Mooney, what's happening with the Cowboys?
You've got 30 seconds left,
Mooney. What's happening with the Cowboys? Quickly, update.
Mate, the Cowboys are in for a whole pile of trouble, I reckon. Now, it's the toughest ground in Cowboys history. They've won one game out of their last nine down there. The last win they had was in 2000, and their coach, Green, scored a try in the 18-8 victory. Even with Morgan back after 3 weeks on the sideline, I don't think they can really knock the Tigers off down there at Tigerland, especially if Robbie Farah mania is going to happen, eh?
Well, he'll jump off the scoreboard anyway, so to get onto the field this evening for his 300th game. That's after, as we said earlier on, he had a bottle of Chivas Regal sent over to the cafe from the cafe when he announced his retirement on Tuesday. We think he's overpaid, Chivas Regal, isn't that, Patchy?
Yeah, very much so.
Well and true.
He should have a bit of that stuff that takes enamel off your teeth, like the old Piper scotch, wasn't it? 100 Piper.
Well, Mooney would know that.
Yeah,
exactly. There's only one opportunity I think the Cowboys have got, and that's if the Tigers can't get a handle on Jason Tomalolo. Mate, he leads the running meters in the league with an average of 213 per game, just ahead of Shep from the Warriors, mate. And he's covered 9 out of 13 games where he's covered more than 200 metres a game, mate.
He's covered more than your belt, Mooney. He's covered more than your belt.
You don't think with Morgan coming back he's going to make a change, though?
No, I don't think Morgan's going to make that difference. Maybe making it close, he might make the difference. Of course, the Cowboys have really, I think the last three games, I thought they had it won. But they've lost it in that last 9 seconds where maybe a level head like Morgan can help them. I think that's the only opportunity they've got. They've got to be close, I think, for Morgan to have mature experience. Yeah. Without that, I just think Tigers are going to run away with Farah, mate. I just think his retirement, it's Leichhardt Oval. It's the last game at Leichhardt before they go on play Parramatta Stadium. So... I just think the Tigers will get them. I think they'll be too strong.
You'll probably find the fanfare's worth 12 points on a team.
It certainly will be this evening. Now, Mooney, moving on. Final eight predictions. Your final eight in finishing order. Have you got them ready, or do you need another 5 weeks?
No, I got them ready, mate. Parramatta first.
This is only six games to go. only six games to go.
Well, I'll me up in trouble. Now, all jokes aside, Storm 1, Roosters 2, Rabbits 3, Raiders 4, Silvertail 5, the Mighty Matters in 6, Sharks 7, Panthers 8, mate.
So,
Titans for the wooden spoon.
Patchy, you're 8 in finishing order.
I've gone similar. Melbourne, Sydney, the Roosters, the Rabbitohs, the Raiders. I reckon Manly might... fall out of it. I think Penrith can keep their charge. Then Manly, Parra and the Bronx.
Mal.
Okay, very, very similar. You have the Storm at number one, no doubt, by mile. Roosters will come in next. Raiders are up there and South will make the 4. Then you're going to have Manly. I think your Eels will get up there. 6, Cronulla and then Penrith.
No Broncos.
No Broncos. No Broncos.
No Broncos, mate. No ponies. Ponies for the early holiday.
Said it last week with Darius at 5'8". The attack's as sharp as a bowling ball. They've got no chance.
Ponies are heading out to the nightclub on Monday morning.
And we'll hear from Macca just after 6:40 tonight with his final eight predictions. Now, Shane Moon, this week's Niff Nuff Award. Who will be winning it, or who are your contenders?
Mate, I have lots of contenders, but after sitting down and really thinking about it, I haven't
That would have been hard. That would have been pretty hard, sitting down and thinking about it.
We could smell the burning rubber from here.
Absolutely. Craig Willis got there. He's still trying to clean up the mess. Anyway, mate, I'm giving it to the referees and the touch judges. They are a bunch of choppers. They have to be the biggest niff-nuff group of people I have ever seen. They absolutely cost games last week, and it's not the first time it's happened. I don't know what's going on with the referees. I don't matter who is their coach or who is their manager or who is their spokesperson. They've got four people ruling on a game now, and they still can't make the right decision. They pull Melbourne up on a forward pass that was nowhere near a forward pass. They have knock-ons for tries. They have forward pass, mate. I just can't get over the stupidity of these people, and they want to be paid $500,000 a bloody year now. They've really gone up into the corporate salary range, but they're still refereeing like park footballers. They are a bunch of niff-nuffs, and my award goes to every referee and every linesman, especially in last week's round. They were disgraceful.
Well, thank you, Shane Moon. Yeah. I think that's pretty clear as to who your award's gone to.
I understand
and,
that.
And, Shane Moon, we'll look forward to chatting to you in 2 weeks' time. Thank you for joining us here on The Grapple on 101.5 FM Sports.
Go, Para!
He's got to have the last word, hasn't he, Patchy? Well, talking about NRL news, we mentioned St Helens coach Justin Holbrook. He pipped Kevin Walters to take charge of the Gold Coast Titans. Is that a good signing? Two-year deal. Won't be there till November. And I think there's a big difference between coaching in the English Super League as opposed to the NRL on a week-by-week, day-by-day basis.
Did he pip Walters or did they say Walters?
I think that's just a bit of paper talk.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah. I reckon it is. Yeah. Yeah. I think Kevy would have been too smart for that, well and truly.
Yeah, but his association with Mel, I thought he was would have got him over the line. That's what I thought with Kevy Walters and Mel being there. They've done it before. They did it at State Origin, did it in Canberra. I thought he might have got him over the line, but
anyway.
And I totally agree. I started at the opening of the show. It's a completely different league, and day in, day out, the grind of NRL. And you've seen it's ruthless.
He's got
his coaches are ruthless.
He's got to coach what he's got left positions. Because he can't walk out and there's a supermarket full of players at the moment. So he's got to coach what he's got. He's only got a two-year contract.
That's exactly right. And the former Knights, Penrith and Roosters halfback, believes he will bring an end to the Titans' woeful record of recent years. Proof will be in the pudding. Newcastle, well, they've signed a Cronulla hooker, Jaden Brayley. And that, of course, means that Levi and I think the other player they've said today, Herman Sasa, they're free to go and negotiate with other clubs. But all things don't appear to be calm in the Newcastle Knights with... Jesse Raymond giving his marching orders, a dramatic bust-up with coach Nathan Brown.
And was one of the major signings for them too.
Certainly was. Yeah. Evidently he was dissatisfied with playing right side and the attack was going left side, so he wasn't getting tries or getting the ball and said, well, I want out of here. Gee whiz.
Too many of them saying that if they can't get their position, that they Nancy Fancy, they're out. Coaches are now saying, see you later.
And then on the other hand, we've got the Titans, and the players sort of dominated Garth Brennan's fall. So he couldn't get the players to play, and he couldn't get the team harmony. So.
Yeah, exactly. So,
it's cutthroat, isn't it?
It certainly is. So Jesse Ramian, big signing. I expected a lot more from him this year as well. Hasn't delivered, and mutual agreement, and he's given approval to negotiate elsewhere. I'm sure there'll be a lot of clubs lining up to get hold of him. Well, let's turn our attention quickly to the local rugby league, the Sunshine Coast Gympie Rugby League and Stanley River. They finished on top of the competition ladder with 64 points and second Caboolture 58, Beerwa third 57 and Kiwana 49 ahead of Noosa on percentage. So this weekend, the semi-finals commence, round one, and on Saturday, Division 1 Caboolture will take on Beerwa at Caboolture, and on Sunday in Division 1 Kiwana will take on Noosa. So the winners of those games now will one is going to drop out, but the winner of the Caboolture Beerwa game will play Stanley River the weekend after, and let's see what happens there in the Division 1 competition.
Stanley River get the week off because of the minor premiership.
Yes, finished minor premiership.
Yes, have a rest.
Well and truly, having a rest. And in the women's semi-final on the weekend, well, Gympie 26 defeated Maroochydore 8, and Caboolture 34 defeated Kiwana 4. Kiwana and Gympie. Gympie through to the grand final on Sunday the 11th at the Sunshine Coast Stadium. So
let's see what happens this weekend in the match between Maroochydore and Caboolture. Caboolture. Are out. And, the ISC was a split round last weekend. The Devils defeated the Jets 16-12. Magpies defeated the Pride 24-20. Tweed lost to the Cutters 30-16, a bit of an upset there. And, of course, all other games this weekend. The Tigers will take on Wynnum, the Blackhawks over the Hunters, the Falcons, they'll take on the Capras, and the Bears will take on the Dolphins. So yeah, that's
good game, the Bears and the Dolphins.
Oh, it'll be a fantastic game.
Absolute cracker.
And, of course, competition leaders, the Falcons, they'll take on the Capras, and that'll probably be another, a problem for the Falcons, another win, more dollars to pay out. As you keep winning, doesn't make it any easier.
No.
Well and truly.
You've got to keep those turnstiles going.
Exactly right. Gee, I didn't mean to breach the salary cap. We won so many games. Well, in the Brisbane Rugby League A grade, the Seagulls lost 36-24 to the Tigers. The Dolphins defeated the Diehards 40-16. The Magpies 28 lost to the Panthers 30. And in the South East Queensland women's competition last weekend, we had the semi-finals. And in the Division 1, second place Burley defeated third place East, and first place West defeated fourth place Brothers Ipswich. The Bears now face minor premiers West Brisbane in the grand final in a rematch of the 2018 decider this Saturday at 2 p.m. at Emerson Park. So that should be a great game there in the South East Queensland Division 1 women's comp.
Emerson Park, where do we find that?
You just look it up on Google.
Yeah, well, where's Emerson Park?
You can just look it up on Google.
You're in real estate. You should know where that is.
It's just down the road, actually.
Not far away.
Yes.
Not far away.
I've never heard of it. Is there a suburb called Emerson?
Well, I don't know.
Or is it a Mr. Emerson?
It's a Mr. Emerson. Roy Emerson.
Roy Emerson.
Roy Emerson.
Yeah.
Out of Blackmud. Yeah. Well, listeners, we'll go to our next break here on The Grapple, and we'll be joined by our resident NRL expert, Greg McCallum, here on 101.5 FM Sports. Well, listeners, we were talking about technology before, and we're having some technological problems just trying to get Greg McCallum online. Maybe we just send the carrier pigeon, Patchy.
Yeah, well, that's how you used to do it. Well, we'll get Mooney to yell from afar. He might be getting from Townsville. He's only in Sydney.
Well, you could hear him from there.
You could hear
him from there, well and truly. Mel, maybe we could get the string on the cans.
That'd do the trick. Done it for a long time.
Or the bottle to the wall or something, and see what we can do there. So, listeners, we'll proceed with our predictions and selections in round 20 of the NRL. But no, we've just been given the signal. He's on standby. Looks like all things are good. And it's a warm welcome to our NRL expert, former first grade referee, English Super League boss, chairman of the NRL Match Committee Review for 10 years, Greg McCallum. Evening, Magga.
Yeah, good. No, just been out walking the course at Springwood Country Club. That's why I didn't have that much reception. So all good.
All good. Oh, you're on another junket.
No, that's where I work. Don't jump it when you're working.
No, exactly right.
I got to say, you must have had a shocking round because it's been dark down there. You just finishing up now. But...
Well, I was looking for the ball.
Oh, exactly. Well, Macca, we've got Mal Lucas, and we've got he's re-emerged. He's got his suit on. He's got his white headsets like Graham Langland's boots and so on in the studio. Kel Patch is back with us. Patchy.
Kel.
Patchy's
right,
here.
Kel, how are you?
Yeah, good, Macca. How you doing, mate?
I'm very well, thanks.
There's finally enough room back in here after Mooney and Wade have gone, so I got the invite back.
The skinny ones
other than that, I've got my contract rubbed out like Todd Carney, I told him earlier. But I'm back. I've done my ban.
You've done your ban? Okay, well, Macca, four officials axed after making mistakes in Parramatta's 24-22 win over the Warriors. Hawkeye technology has been floated, and now we're talking about robotic officials. What's going on?
Yeah, look, we had a good start to the season. That's all I can say. It was pretty good early on, but the last 4 or 5 weeks has been quite poor refereeing, I've got to say. And I've spoken in favour of the referees' performances this year, but they just seem to be slipping back into that abyss where they tend to make up interpretations and rules and whatever. The stripping rule, obviously, is the big call at the moment because that was the nemesis of those referees, where players were involved in tackles and then pulled away and the referees couldn't call it right. And, of course, it had a consequence. Parramatta went on to score a try. And, it's just something... I don't know what the answer is. Rugby league is the most over-scrutinised sport in the world. No other sport has a scrutiny on it like rugby league does as far as its match officials go. And you almost feel like calling a truce between the coaches and the media and the referees and everyone else. But Graham Annesley, he's got his work cut out, I think, over the next couple of weeks, because there are a number of open-ended interpretations in the game, particularly around the shoulder charge, that are going to, and of course dangerous throws, that are going to cause some problems if they can't find the right level of which to play it at. To think that Tom Trbojevic is, not Tom, Jake Trbojevic is playing this week is just unbelievable, given the tackle that he did. And Isaac Luke got 3 weeks, and of course,
Ricky Stewart's
got 3 weeks earlier. It's just mind blowing that happened.
It certainly is, Macca. And of course, that will have or could have an impact on the final eight. And we've got the panel's been through their predictions. We've got Shane Moon all the way live online from Townsville. Macca, your top eight.
Look, I think the top five as they are at the moment, Melbourne, Roosters, Souths, Canberra and Manly. They'll probably finish in that those positions as well. Outside of that, I think Cronulla can make a run. I think at full strength they're probably the next best of the sides to make their way there. The Broncos, I think, I would throw them in. I think they can finish the season off quite well. Then, look, at the rest is a lottery. Parramatta, West Tigers, probably fighting out that spot. I don't think the Warriors are consistent enough at any stage towards the end of the season to get there. So they're probably my eight.
The Eels can get a really good run in, Macca. They're the probably ones that I think between Broncos and the Eels. Dragons, Knights, Titans, Bulldogs at home, and Broncos away, and Seagulls to finish it off. Get a pretty
easy run. You mentioned the Knights. Yeah, they have. You mentioned the Knights, and 6 weeks ago they were certain to make the eight for the first time in many years, but there seems to be a lot going on there. Notice players being told they're not wanted and dropped, and, you know, Jesse Ramian, you know, one of the probably best attacking players early on in the season, being told he's no longer required. That's massive news.
Yeah, Knights run home, Seagulls away, Eels away, Cowboys at home, West Tigers away, Titans at home, and Penrith away. So, they've really got to win five of those six, don't they?
They certainly do.
Yeah, they do.
I haven't got them there.
So I've left Penrith out. I thought their performance last week magnified probably what a lot of people were thinking, is that they had a pretty soft run for 7 weeks, and they came up against a side that was semi-final bound in the Raiders, and I thought the Raiders towed them up a little bit. I know the score didn't show that, but I thought they won quite easily, and it showed up a lot of deficiencies in the Penrith side. I just don't think that they're going to make it.
Including Ivan Cleary supposedly clashing with referees in the tunnel.
Well, what stuns me, and, you know, tell me if I'm wrong, but at the press conference, when you've got a little bit of adrenaline flowing, and you actually admit to confronting the referee, and then somehow not get charged, is just mind blowing. Like, he admitted that he approached the referee. That is illegal to do. He doesn't have to say too much to have breached the code of conduct. And again, it's a decision that I thought was quite strange, that Ivan Cleary. And what message does it send? And
I suppose.
Yeah, well, what's happened during the year, they had problems with shoulder charges, you know, players being hit late. We had a number of them in a row. We had players gouging, guilty of gouging. We had four of them in a row. We've had lifting tackles. We've had four of them in a row. And my view is, you come down hard on the first one, because they're not new things in the game. So you have a coach having a crack at a referee. If you don't come down hard on the first time, every other coach thinks it's okay to do it.
Well, let's see what happens, Macca. So moving on to round 20 starts tonight. Leichhardt Oval, Robbie Farah's 300th game. The Tigers taking on the North Queensland Cowboys. And your prediction?
Good game. I'm looking forward to this because it's really sudden death for the Cowboys. They can probably get there if they win every game, but, you know, that's hard to do. Emotion will be high for Robbie Farah. You know, when you look back 3 years ago, or 2 years ago, this would never have been in anyone's thoughts that he would be playing 300 games. Amazing. And at Balmain, at West Tigers.
And leaving in his terms. Leaving in his terms,
Macca. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Isn't it great to see it? So, look, I'll go for the Tigers tonight.
Well, I'm going for the Tigers for very obvious reasons. Kel?
Yeah, Tigers.
Mal?
Yeah, Tigers all the way.
Shane Noon's gone for the Tigers as well. Let's put the kiss of death on the Tigers. Well, tomorrow evening, Warriors up against the Raiders over in New Zealand.
I think the Raiders now, I'm more confident picking them, Gordon. It's been many, many years that I haven't been doing that with much confidence, probably helped by the fact that I don't have no confidence in picking the Warriors. By the process of elimination. By the process of elimination, the Raiders get picked.
So, Kel?
That was a cracker.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I like the Raiders. Ricky's really got the English got their mojo with the English boys, hasn't he? I suppose if you're going to go be acclimatised in Australia, you might as well go to Canberra, wouldn't you? So, call me on that. But Raiders for mine.
Mel?
Yeah, no Isaac Luke, so the Warriors have got no chance.
And Shane Moon's gone for the Raiders as well. So that's two selections where everyone's gone the same. And the other game tomorrow night here at Suncorp, the Broncos up against the Melbourne Storm. Melbourne Storm round losers 11-10 last weekend. Will the Storm lose two in a row, Macca?
No, I don't think so. They're a good side, and I was watching Cameron Smith interview during the week. What a great player he is. What a great orator he is. He's a great storyteller, and a lot of people think he's a good referee too. So maybe Melbourne Storm will win that.
Kel?
Yeah, Matt Gillette out, so Storm going to be a lot harder for the Bronx Storm.
Mel?
Yeah, I'll be there tomorrow night cheering the Storm.
Gee, that's three games in a row where everyone has gone the same. Well, Saturday afternoon, 3 o'clock over there at Brookvale, the Seagulls up against the Newcastle Knights. Macca?
Yeah, look, a few weeks ago, this probably Newcastle would go in as favourites, but in recent form, Manly will go in as warm favourites, and they get off to those great starts they generally have at Brookvale and roll down the field, it'd be hard to see the Knights being strong enough to hold them out. So the Seagulls to win.
Mal?
Yeah, too much turmoil with the Knights. It's Manly all the way.
Kel?
No, I'm going to take the Knights. It's their do or die for the Knights. If they lose this, they're gone.
Well, I'll certainly take
it. And I had, at the start of the year, I had Knights in my eight.
Well, I'm taking the Eagles as well. I just think Marty Tapau and Curtis Sirin in particular and Joel Thompson, that forward pack is playing with plenty of power, and I think they'll make easy yards against the Newcastle Knights. The 5:30 game tomorrow on Saturday, the Bulldogs up against the Panthers at, everyone's home ground, Bankwest Stadium, Macca.
Yeah, everyone's game either to play these days, and they tell me, I haven't been yet, but they tell me that's a fantastic atmosphere. The noise level in there is wonderful. Look, I think the Panthers can win, even though I haven't picked them to get into the eight. I think they can beat the Bulldogs.
And I'm just wondering if James Maloney will interact with the referees like he did last weekend.
Well, I wish there'd be a referee that would just sit him down. You know, that was quite ordinary, his harassment of the referee the other day. Just because he's captain doesn't mean he can go and harass someone. No, and then James Tamu jumps off the bench at half time and has a go as well. And then the coach follows up in the tunnel. Yeah,
one in all in.
Yeah, exactly right. I follow the leader. So you're going Panthers, so they're all on the same bus then, Macca. Kel Patch.
I think the Bulldogs are one of the teams that can spoil the parade in these top eight. These teams that are trying to get in the top
eight. So you're going to Dogs?
No,
come on.
Hedging me bets.
Splinters.
It wouldn't surprise me the Bulldogs get up, but I'm taking the Panthers. Okay. How about that?
No? Yeah, Panthers all the way.
Panthers all the way.
Sitting on the fence, Macca.
Splinters. Oh, the splinters flying everywhere.
Wouldn't surprise me, though.
We have a third game on Saturday evening. The Sharks up against the Rabbits. The Cronulla Sharks, you've indicated a bit of hidden talent there, Macca, because they're back at full strength.
Look, match of the round, I think. I think this is the best game of the round. I think the Sharks will dig in, and I think I can see them upsetting the Rabbits, even though I'm a great fan of the Rabbits, as you guys know. They're still in with a big shot at the competition, but with all their players back, I like the way Wade Graham spoke during the week about it, and I've got to lean towards him.
Kel?
No, I'm going the Rabbitohs. Cody Walker, Adam Reynolds, they stay fit. They're a chance to take off the premiership.
Mel?
No. Bunnies were a bit average last week against the under-average Dragon, so I'll run with the Sharks.
I'll go for the Rabbits. Two to go on Sunday, Macca. The Roosters up against the Titans. Justin Holbrook, no doubt, will be having a good look at the video replay.
Yeah, we've got good news too, that Dave Ferner has settled his dispute over in Leeds. So the word is that Dave Ferner will be going up to the Titans as assistant coach. So it'll be good to see David Ferner back where he belongs over here in the NRL.
And a ready-made replacement for Holbrook.
Yeah, but I think Holbrook will do okay. I think he's been well schooled. He's very popular over there, of course, at St Helens, where he's got a great, I think it's 82 or 83% success rate. So,
Won't be enough for the Titans this weekend, though.
Won't be enough for the Titans, though. I think the Roosters, last week they played for about 15 minutes. Maybe if they play for 30 minutes, they might beat the Titans.
I think everyone's going for the Roosters.
I think the Burley Bears would be better than the Titans at the moment. They're playing in the Intrust Cup. But, the Roosters would be a cricket school. It would be like tonight's test match that points up.
And we must make out the Aussies in the first Ashes test tonight.
Yeah,
well and truly. Now, the St George Illawarra Dragons up against the Parramatta Eels on Sunday afternoon, final game of Round 20. Magga?
Well, how can you pick St George after their recent poor form? You know, they played pretty well for the second half last week, nearly got the job done against the South side, but I just can't see them. Parramatta, I think, have got plenty of attacking ability, and provided their key players play well, they'll do okay. I think Parramatta will win.
Well, I'm going to go to the Dragons. That's my upset pick for the weekend. Kel Patch.
Michael Jennings and Sean Lane back in for Parramatta. I'll go the Eels.
And Shane Moon's gone for the Eels. Surprise, surprise. He's actually sticking with his team. So, Mal, the final selection.
Hey, did the Dragons won last week by the 79th minute? You'd all be talking about them. So I'll go them again.
You're going the Dragons as well?
Yeah. Goes for 80 minutes, Mal.
Yeah, I know.
One second. Exactly.
It's all it took. Unbelievable. But as I said, Macca, if the Dragons had have taken the the Dragons had have taken the ball from the kickoff, it would never have happened.
No, and they, it was all set for a great comeback by Widdop to kick that penalty goal. It was going to win them the game, but your idea, you've got to get the ball back from the kickoff. Yeah.
You certainly do, Macca, well and truly. Well, Gregor McCallum, it's been great to have you join us and hear your selections here on the Grapple and your predictions for the top eight. Go back to finding a golf ball on the golf course in the dark, and we'll look forward to chatting to you again here on 101.5 FM Sports.
Well, that was a great chat with Macca. Gee, the comments about the shoulder charge, the comments about the performance of the referees, how it's all sort of fallen apart a little bit at the moment.
But that's shoulder charge. That's been going on since it's been banned. Like, seriously, the definition of the shoulder charge has always been contentious, you know? It's like dress regs in a club. You just can't do anything about it. You're just so contentious.
So can I wear my thongs into the Caboolture Sports
Club? You can wear anything in, mate.
He'll take money from anybody.
You're rawly around Caboolture.
Oh dear.
So, well, Gordon.
Well, listeners, as we said a minute ago, we'll just digress from the rugby league. The first Ashes test starts tonight. I've been watching some of the Barmy Army rehearse. The scoreboard had the last result when the English beat us in the World Cup over there, the game they played. It should be, an eye-opener tonight. Stay tuned for the cricket. Look forward to the results over the weekend in Round 20, and look forward to your company here on 101.5 FM Sports.